Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's time for our weekly Common Health segment, but before we proceed, today's conversation contains some graphic and disturbing descriptions of a tragic childbirth and may not be appropriate for some listeners. That birth took place at a home in Milford in 2007, and for reasons we'll hear about in just a moment, the pregnant woman did not call 911. Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, reported this story and is with us now. Hi there, Rachel.
Hello, Meghna.
First, tell us what happened to the woman in question here, Alyssa Pugh, when she found out she was in labor back in 2007.
Right. She'd been experiencing abdominal pain at work, and she went home, went into the bathroom and sat on the toilet thinking she might be having a miscarriage. Now, she had told no one that she was pregnant, but as she was sitting there, her water broke and she realized that she was in labor.
And she didn't call 911 when she realized she was in labor at home?
She did not call for any kind of medical attention, according to all the court records. That's what the case is about, essentially. At that point, she reached inside of herself, felt a foot. She began to push, pushed about 10 times, and then she started pulling on the baby's feet and legs and body to speed up his delivery.
So she felt a foot, meaning the baby was in breech position.
Correct.
But she was able to actually deliver the baby. It was born, but what happened then?
The baby was born. He was blue. Alyssa Pugh said that she tried to scoop out the baby's mouth and made some attempts to resuscitate him, but the baby's color apparently never changed, and he never cried or moved. And then she disposed of his body in the trash. She didn't call for help or seek any kind of medical attention. And several days later, after the baby's body was found, a police investigation began. And ultimately, in 2009, a Superior Court judge found Pugh guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
But she appealed, and her case went to the Supreme Judicial Court.
Correct. And last week, the Supreme Judicial Court reversed the lower court's ruling and essentially threw out the involuntary manslaughter conviction.
Okay. Meaning what in this case?
Basically, it said that a woman does not have a duty to seek medical intervention when she gives birth.
Mm, which is what Alyssa Pugh did. She never really called for medical help while she was giving birth at home.
Right. And of course, while this case is very unusual and tragic, as we've said, that bit of it, the part of the woman not having a duty, has these larger implications. And this is why many interest groups have been following this case closely, because this really does have an effect on other kinds of, for instance, home births, assisted and unassisted, and actually even potentially for how women take care of themselves during pregnancy.
Okay. Well, joining us now is attorney Andrea Kramer. She filed an amicus brief on behalf of the Women's Bar Association of Massachusetts, essentially arguing that Alyssa Pugh's conviction should be overturned, which is exactly what the SJC recently did. Andrea Kramer, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello.
So this is, I just feel like we can't say it enough, it's a unique and terribly tragic case, but it seemed to me that parents in many circumstances, not all, but many circumstances, are legally bound to seek medical care for their babies or children. Why didn't that law apply in Alyssa Pugh's case?
Well, the biggest distinction is the baby was not yet born, so it didn't have any life outside of its mother. And so it's different from the case where you have an actual child whose body can be dealt with medically, separate from dealing with the mother.
I'm reading part of Justice Link's decision here, and she essentially writes that the state already does have a body of law that protects viable fetuses and children, but that what the SJC refused to do was subject all women undergoing unassisted childbirth to possible criminal liability. That's the distinction here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, what about after this baby was born? It was outside of the mother. It was outside of Alyssa Pugh. Did she not have an obligation to seek medical attention at that time?
I think that's where the court really focused on the fact that there was no proof that the baby was ever born alive. If the baby's already dead, then there isn't any obligation to summon medical assistance.
So perhaps the outcome would have been different if the state could have proven that the child was alive.
Yes, and in other states where there have been other cases, it has turned on that.
Okay. So, Andrea, I'm asking about the details of this case because they are specific to this case. But the reason why, as Rachel was saying, so many people are paying close attention to the SJC's decision is that it seems like the court has basically affirmed a woman's right to have an unassisted at-home childbirth in whatever way they choose without fearing criminal liability.
And that's absolutely right. The courts essentially recognize that the legislature in this state does not ban home birth or ban lay midwifery, and it was affirming that through the decision. And one of the things that it said in its decision that's very important is that competent women are the ones who should be making the decisions. And I'll take it further. It shouldn't be legislatures or doctors or courts or prosecutors. The woman is in the best position to assess all the different risks.
Hmm. But Rachel, on the other hand, the state, I mean, specifically Worcester District Attorney Joseph Early, brought charges against Alyssa Pugh, and she was initially found guilty of those charges. What was their basic argument to begin with?
Essentially, this was such a violent, abhorrent sort of situation and act. They went after that. There had to be something criminal in there. The baby's abdominal cavity was filled with blood. The mother threw the baby's body in a trash can. It was only discovered when the garbage guys came to pick up the trash. So the DA said, this baby was so violently treated, we have to stand up for the victim here, the baby. And that's where the criminal complaint stemmed from.
Andrea, what further implication do you think this case has for, I guess we can call it the home birthing movement?
Well, first, understanding that the situation itself was not a home birth, but the concern was that the decision in this case could affect home births. The decision right now has basically strengthened the right of women to have home births or unassisted births, which are sometimes called free birthing, because their decisions to make those will not be second-guessed.
Andrea Kramer, who filed an amicus brief on behalf of the Women's Bar Association of Massachusetts, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
And Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Meghna.
You can read Rachel's original post on this at our website, radioboston.org.
And stay with us. Up next, the quest for a more perfect union. Is it time to give the Constitution a major overhaul? I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.